And we're back for the first time. Welcome to the first ever Verbal Diarrhea podcast.
Verbal Diarrhea.
Huh? Huh? I thought it was an interesting name. I am your host, Ryan Flanagan, and my partner here in front of me is Matt Henson.
Co-host.
What's up, man?
Living and getting ready for this hot date.
Oh, yeah.
With Jim Sorrent.
Jimmy Sorrent coming through. Our former high school counselor. About to go to dinner with him, huh?
And guided us the wrong way in life.
Oof.
Pushed us to college. When we should have went trade school.
Valid point. I think Jim would argue that. I think we turned out all right. But, yeah, you did get the push to do, he tried to put us in what, advanced classes and want us to do this and that and the other. And
I can't name drop, but the same people that he pushed to do advanced classes are not doing any better than the average Joe over here.
Yeah, maybe it's not for everybody, but yeah, I'm excited. We went to dinner with Jim.
Hopefully it's a better showing than what you did
we
last
had
a,
time. You know, you've made that comment a couple of times. I feel like I didn't do too bad, but I did get a little out of hand probably in our last meeting with Jim at Bonhof. It was the atmosphere, though. I really felt like the waitress really set me off.
Cause it was she was
kind of awkward, man. She was real pushy. Yeah, she jumped down Jim's throat when Jim was like, "I didn't want another beer." You remember that situation?
Yeah.
That was a shyster move by her.
Yeah, I get you there. Now,
so I had to end up drinking Jim's other beer, and I'm already over beveraged as it is.
It's Tidewater. I haven't been there in years.
Man, I have no idea what to expect tonight. I'm actually not expecting a lot. No. It's at the mall, correct?
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not. I looked at the menu. I glanced over the menu last night. There's a lot of items on there. And I don't know what way I'm going to go.
We're getting a bottle of wine.
You think Jim drinks wine? It's got to be white, though, because you're eating fish.
Nah, dog, I ain't eating fish. I'll get some meat.
Ooh, what are you going? You going to get a burger or a steak?
Nah, I might go steak, but I'm not going fish.
You're not going, not doing the fish?
Nah, dog.
You don't fish at all?
No.
No?
No fish here?
I mean, I like salmon. I like scallops. I like oysters. I don't know. I don't know what way I'm going to go. But I'm looking forward to it. Jim's always a good time. Jim gets to tell us all about his trip to Israel.
No, he went to Italy, didn't he?
Probably going to Israel.
Oh, it's to be determined.
We'll figure
that out.
We'll get back to you on the next episode.
Yeah, we'll get back to that.
So, little history lesson for the folks out there that may not know. You and I both grew up in Dunbar together. Our paths met when we were probably, what, 6 or 7?
We were in preschool together at Sunshine.
Okay, yep. We went to Sunshine together. And then my babysitter was 2 houses down from your house.
Right. Noble Soldier.
Noble Soldier.
What was her name?
Was
it Pebble or something like that?
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Miss Young.
There you go. And then you had Snack.
Yeah.
Snack Garns was in there with his mom.
Can I segue off this?
Go ahead.
How did Zach get married? I mean, I like Zach. I always thought
Zach's married?
Yeah, with a stepkid.
I haven't seen Zach since, dude, it's probably been six years at least, because when he used to do his little rendezvous with you when you would walk out to your back, pick you up in the alleyway and he'd be back there doing
drinking,
his thing.
Yep.
But I haven't seen him in a long time.
It's crazy how the world comes full circle when you least expect it.
We were kids, man. We were kids when he was like he was probably a teenager when we were kids.
Yeah.
Because I remember, I'll never forget this. He introduced me to the movie Jaws, and it ruined my life.
And that pool he had out back, it was like nobody was allowed to swim in.
Yes. Kids weren't allowed to be back there. I don't remember. And I always remember going, like, his... That house is rather large inside.
And they had it divided.
Yeah, and it was like divided. But if you went into like their wing of the house, the Garns' wing of the house, I always felt like I was getting lost back there as a kid. And it was real dark back there.
And he had that little room off into the back.
Yes. But, man.
Cool guy. Never would have seen him get married.
I remember, my mom always used to make the joke that, he would, like, if I ordered something from, like, Wendy's or something, and I got too much food, she'd be like, oh, you're Zach Garn's in it. She said that he always got, like, this big old plate of food, but never finished it.
Zach,
she
you ever listen to this podcast, I just want to let you know that we do love you.
Yeah, man. All love, baby. No hate. All love.
No hate in this place.
We went to Sunshine together, and then I went. My babysitter was two houses down from you, and we were. How old were we in Sunshine? Five or six,
somewhere around there.
Then graduated from that. Went to Dunbar Elementary, which I shouldn't have gone to Dunbar Elementary, but I did.
You cheated the system.
I cheated the system. I was supposed to be with all the smart Mound kids.
Why didn't you go to Mound?
You know, I've asked my mom that in the past. I got another one.
Okay,
for you
well,
right
I'll
here.
Get there. I'll get there.
And then went from Mound to, or didn't go to Mound, went from Dunbar Elementary to Dunbar Middle School.
No, junior high.
Ooh, that's right. We were one of the last waves.
We were the last ones.
We were the last wave to go through there. I remember I was in 7th grade, and I got to be the one of the escorts for the homecoming thing. Ooh. And I was with Alex Bertolotti. And my mom wouldn't get me a suit, so I was the only sucker out there with, like, slacks on and a sweater.
Why would she get you
and my
a suit?
Everybody else is, like, all decked out, and I'll never forget it. Like, I was giving my mom, like, I was so tore up that she wouldn't get me a suit.
Why didn't she get you a suit?
I don't remember.
At the Christmas party, I'm going to ask her that.
You
if
should.
I can remember.
You should. I was tore up about that.
Why didn't she get you a suit?
And then we went from Dunbar, and then we were the first middle schoolers because we were eighth graders. First DMSers, played basketball together. You played football.
Only two white kids on the basketball
only
team.
Only two white
as
kids.
As our eighth grade year.
Eighth grade year. Then went across the river
to South Charleston.
Did 4 years there under the good tutelage of Jim Sorrent. Yep. Which he was my counselor the whole time I was there. He wasn't your counselor.
No. I had...
You had Miss Miller, didn't you?
Yeah, I did have Miss Miller.
Cookie Miller.
But we never...
I had Cookie Miller in Dunbar.
Yeah. She did get a Dunbar.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's the rundown of our schooling together and how we met. And, obviously, we played Dunbar Minor League, Little League, Junior League.
Did you play Dunbar Midget League basketball?
Yes.
I don't know why I never played that.
You played the Y.
Yeah, but I don't know why I was never introduced to the youth league down there.
I don't either. I played down there, and I don't remember who I even played with.
He played Curtis Russell on them.
Curtis Siggers was there. I know that. I remember that because his grandfather would always come to the game.
I talked to Kurt today.
Did you?
Kurt's another childhood friend of ours.
Yep. Big Kurt dog. What's he doing?
Working, and Kurt has...
Don't
I'll go
do
ahead
it.
Put this in there.
Don't do it.
Kurt has six kids.
Bless nothing his, wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that, but nothing bless his heart.
Bless
I
his heart.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah. It's...
Maybe we need to get Kurt down here one day.
Get him one day. Get him
you
one
got three
pod.
Mics?
I can get a third. See, it ain't none but a thing.
Yeah, we get Kurt down there.
Get him hooked up.
You have to get him down here, get him a couple beers in him.
Yeah, let him go. Get him on the mic, man.
I had an interesting conversation with Kurt if we segue and... politics. Ooh. is he the Chinese guy that's running Democratic?
Andrew Yang.
He kind of likes him, he said, but he doesn't know where the money's coming from.
Ooh.
And I said, taxes on the middle class, if we're getting into politics.
I don't think that's how we should go.
Right.
But Yang is an interesting candidate. I think he's a little before his time.
Yeah.
But I think there's some merit to that conversation.
Yeah. And
from both sides. You could You could tear Yang down for the simple fact is that a lot of his universal basic income, a lot of economists don't really know where you're cutting money somewhere else.
Oh, yeah.
So
it just doesn't appear.
It just doesn't pop up out of thin blue air. So what are you cutting to get that? Start paying, and is it even enough to live off of?
Yeah, some people have argued. If you're not cutting, you're raising something from somebody. You're raising taxes or something.
Oh yeah, yeah, we're getting it from somewhere, but I don't know, man.
All right, we won't beat on politics.
here's an interesting question for you. Yeah, we won't beat on that. When you were a kid, what was cool? Like, what was in? What was the thing? The one thing that stands out to me, and it's not cool now to me at all, even though I have caught myself watching it on TV, wrestling was the coolest thing when we were kids,
wrestling,
man.
Wrestling was cool.
I remember going and every Tuesday morning coming to school, and like that was the buzz from WCW Nitro and Monday Night Raw.
Do you remember in... our senior year, we had Jason Redman at ACT Prep, which Mr. Sorrent made us stay in, and that class taught us nothing because we did not practice the ACT.
Mm-mm.
And remember, we used to talk so much shit in there about Laguna Beach.
Oh,
and he
gets
so pissed.
Yes, MTV Laguna Beach. That was the show. Yeah,
and this,
man.
And our teacher didn't like us in there because all we did was talk to one another, and he thought that moving us on the other sides of the room was going to stop the conversation.
And no, we would just talk across the room.
But Laguna Beach was in. I'll never forget that.
Laguna Beach. What else? What else was cool back then that's not cool now?
You know what I always thought was, which amazed me, was I guess probably every teenager or middle schooler was people smoking cigarettes. My older siblings and all them were like smoking cigarettes. And I was like... Yeah, I
remember sneaking smokes out beside your garage.
Yeah, like oh yeah,
we go grab a few of Sarah's cigs and go out to the garage.
It's like that's not cool.
No, not anymore. No,
and I don't even know if I inhaled it properly to even get anything from it.
I remember hitting it and I was just like, why do they do this? Yeah, so, that probably wasn't cool. It's not cool now, obviously. That, but it was cool back then. I remember looking up to that. Seeing people hit repeaters.
And the biggest childhood memory I think we have besides sports is the Dunbar Pool, which was probably the best pool in the Kanawha Valley.
Oh, yes.
Everybody was there.
It had three diving boards back then, and then you had the high dive and the two small ones, and people would do all kinds of crazy shit off of those things.
You walked there every day, and your parents let you stay there
all day.
And you just...
That's what you did in the summertime. You just hung out at the pool.
Every day.
Try to pick up chicks and hang by the pool. Yep. I actually just, mom let the dogs out. It was probably...
Your mom needs to put the fucking dogs up. Well, you can't even get mail.
Yeah, that's why we can't
problem.
Get mail. That's a story for another day. But I was looking out the window and Molly was going nuts. And it was Big Jeff walking by. And the most famous story about the Dunbar Pool with Big Jeff is Big Jeff went off the high dive and everybody thought he died because he did a belly flop.
Big Jeff, for our listeners, is a kid that was probably, he's probably our age.
And he's a year older than us, maybe
okay.
two.
So when we were 9, he was 10. Let's just go to middle school years. So let's say when we were 13, this kid was 14. It was every bit of what, 6'6"?
He's huge.
Probably
man.
Pushing 350.
Huge.
This kid was a man in a boy's body.
Every bit of it.
And, I mean, he was just a man's body.
And someone dared him to go off the high dive and do a belly flop, and he did. And I'll never forget that smack and that sound.
You know what I hate about the Dunbar Pool?
What's that?
When they always did that fucking adult swim or that made a set up. And this was back in the day when the lifeguards had power that they can make your ass sit out. Like, you're not my damn babysitter or my parent, and you can make me sit out and time out.
I'm trying to think of who the lifeguards were.
Man, the only thing I can remember is there was this one guy there, and I'll have to ask one of my, probably Sarah, about it. There was this one guy who reminded me of like a lot of Andrew Henson, no relation. But this guy was always fit back when before you were fit.
Yeah, nobody worked out back then.
And he was always fit. And I can just remember him. It was like the girls drooled all over him. And I was just like, I forget that guy's name. He's probably a fucking loser.
Andrew Henson, everybody drooled over back in the day.
That lifeguard, I don't remember your name. He's probably a fucking loser now.
Nah, he's probably doing big things, bro.
No, yeah.
Big things.
He ain't doing shit.
But going back to the original comment or the original question, the Dunbar Pool no longer exists.
Yep.
And that's a shame.
Yeah.
It's an absolute travesty.
And I think the reason was is because it kept leaking. I mean, it was built on a hillside.
Yeah.
I mean,
That whole hill is an absolute just travesty.
It's crazy because it was packed there 7 days a week.
Yeah, they had to have made money,
thing was, I hated too about the Dunbar Pool is, if you did get a ride there, you went with a family member or whatever, remember you had to park in them bottom parking lots
and walk your happy ass up that fucking hill? Yeah, that was an absolute logistical nightmare. But for whatever reason, that place stayed packed.
Yeah. It's the greatest pool.
And everybody always bought a year pass.
Yep.
And you go up there as a family, or you go up there by yourself.
Yep, concession stand.
I remember us going up after like baseball practices.
Remember
when
we played All-Stars and they're like, you can't go to the pool.
You can't go to
the
Dunbar Pool today. Like, right.
Yeah, right, motherfucker.
I'm getting on my bike and heading that way right now. Yeah, man, that was the jam back in the day. And kids don't have anything like that.
Nope.
Like, there's not anything here now.
They want it? Well, they don't know because
they don't know. They don't know. Yeah, there's no hangs like that anymore. Nope. There's no, like, even over the hill. You know, as a parent now, and seeing Dunbar Little League as it is.
Had a memory come of Dunbar Little League.
We used to hang out down there all the time.
Remember, if you weren't playing, you're just down there bullshitting. You play run down.
Yes, all day long. Yep. All day long. And there was a thing. Now, it's been a while since I've podcasted, but me and Jay podcasted probably back in April. And I don't remember which one it was, but we had this famous talk where we played in his front yard or his backyard. And there was a famous incident with Jay where somebody threw a soccer ball to him, and we were playing like pickup in his backyard. And he swung and hit that soccer ball. The bat came back and hit him in his eye. Dude, it looked like he had been in like a 12-round fight.
What did Pauly say?
Oh, dude, he ran inside crying. The whole game ended. It was an absolute travesty. But, yeah, we would play that famous like tree line or where that little stupid tree was. We would play that as home base and then like down that Cavenders.
There was a manhole or something.
And there was like 40 of us down there playing it sometimes.
God, there was something else I was telling somebody the other day. I ain't gonna get into that, but it was just about the whole sleigh ride and the
BJ Johnson
the fence. I was just telling somebody.
They don't even sleigh ride over here anymore, really. But I mean, we haven't had
snow
bad snow. No. But, we spent a lot of time down at the field. I take it as the environment's changed where, like, you know, you would tell your mom or I'd tell my mom, like, I'm going out. And you just walk out of your house and get on your bike and just go. I'll be back.
Remember the church above my house?
Yeah.
Field. That was always full of football games.
Always. We were always outside doing something. Yep. But, you know, we didn't have iPads and video. Well, I mean, we had video games, but not to the level of what they probably are immersive now. But I don't know, man. I don't know if kids fully understand the hang anymore, what it was to just be bored and make something out of your day. Like, there was a lot of...
You either went out and did something, or you just sat there.
You just sat there and melted into your freaking couch. But,
yep.
Yeah. That over the hill is hard to see now because it's not, kids don't, like, I remember we would go down there and spend countless dollars at the concession stand. You'd be down, there'd be games going on Saturday from 9 o'clock in the morning until 6 o'clock at night. You don't have that anymore. You don't have a league that has 10 teams in it.
And we were also allowed to run at night. I mean, we were out doing stupid shit at night.
Spotlight and
whatever. In middle school, running the streets of Dunbar until 11 or 12 and nobody thought twice about it. Your parents didn't care. You just came home.
Yes.
We didn't think about people getting kidnapped or shot or killed. No. You just ran the streets and you came home when you came home.
And it was good. Man, we did a lot of stupid stuff out there. A lot of stupid stuff. So, what was, for you, what was the weirdest habit you had as a kid?
Good question.
Mine for sure, and it's kind of embarrassing, but at the same time, sucking my thumb was one of those things that I didn't break for a long time.
Man,
I was 11 or 12 before I broke sucking my thumb.
I don't think that. I didn't like to be away from home. I don't know if that's a habit or not, but I didn't like to be away from home, and I don't know why.
So you didn't do sleep?
Like, no, it wasn't being
The one famous sleepover I remember, and I actually called my mom and came home.
What's that?
Stephen Hudnall's. You remember Stephen Hudnall's birthday party?
There was
20 of us in his basement.
And you know what I remember about that? And it just came to me. And I've thought about this before. Was his mom straight or gay then?
Gay.
She was gay then.
I believe so.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't he have a mini trampoline and a mini pool table in that basement?
Yes. And it was like air hockey or something. You could do like the whole nine.
Can't tell you another thing about that. I couldn't even tell you where that house is.
I know it's in South Charleston.
Where was we?
I know it's in South Charleston.
What year was that? How did we get invited to Stephen Hudnall?
That's a good question.
Because he wasn't a Dunbar kid.
He was not. I don't know how we met.
Shame on our parents for sending us over there. Shame on them freaks.
I remember I called my mom. I don't remember if his mom, I don't know if he gave me the phone or his mom gave me the phone or somebody, but I called my mom. My mom came and got me at 3 o'clock in the morning.
The best another one is, and we've talked about this many of times, and I really like the guy, and I hope his life is everything he wants, but BJ Johnson's house. Shouldn't even say his last name. Fuck it. I don't know.
Yeah, well, wouldn't listen to this anyway. Yeah.
BJ Johnson's house.
We used to go out there and hang out for
his
hours.
His mom didn't give a shit. Mm-mm. Had this big ass house. Did you know the story about when I fell in that fucking pool in the winter?
No.
Yeah, it was crazy. We went over there for something. And it was my parents. They would just drop me off there for a second.
This was back when, like, you had to landline somebody. You had to call somebody's house to see if they were home.
There
first.
Wasn't no cell phone.
No, you ain't no, paging nobody, nothing. You were calling the house.
I had to go over there, and I went outside to get something, and this was in the winter because I remember the snow, and they had an in-ground pool. You know, we never did really swim in that pool.
Never swam in that
pool. But you think about it now.
It was always covered.
They probably didn't have the money.
They didn't keep it up.
Had a fucking in-ground pool.
I don't even know how she had the money to afford that house anyways. That house was nice.
But I remember I walked out there, and it was snow, and I walked on that, and my leg went down. I could have went under that fucking tarp or that pool cover. It's crazy.
I remember playing. He had a trampoline back there too.
Over the hill.
Yes.
And we did all them wrestling. It was basically beat the fuck out of whoever, throw them off. If they got slung off and went over the hill, you know what? You fucking lost.
And there wasn't no Shea Skinner lived up the street. Yeah. Remember Shea Skinner?
Yeah,
man?
I remember Shea Skinner.
Shea Skinner had every toy imaginable.
No friends but BJ Johnson.
No
had
friends.
Everything. He got. I think he got into dope for a
while. Oh yeah, but he was a rapper too, right?
Yeah. And then you remember the name? Well, back to the house.
This
house was a huge house,
dude. That house was huge.
But it had this, like, the basement had its own room and pool. You could just go down there and lock yourself.
We shot
in this
pool for hours. And jammed music and just hung out.
And nobody fucked with you.
And we didn't do nothing. We didn't. Yeah. It wasn't like we were like doing like anything bad. No, we were just hanging out.
We were just there. I'm at BJ's. All right. I remember, and this just dawned on me. I remember we played the hell out of Super Nintendo Jurassic Park. He had that game.
Oh, that was the toughest game ever.
And you could never beat it unless you put in the fucking cheat code for unlimited ammo.
That was a hard ass game. Yeah. I watch these kids now on Twitch, and they play these old Super Nintendo games.
They could be Jurassic Park. No way.
Dude, they do these speed runs. They do these speed runs on these video games, and they beat them in like 20 minutes. I'm like, dude, we would have been stuck on that game for like 1,800 days. Like, you could not beat those games.
Man, just sitting here, that brings back a lot of memories at that fucking house, man.
Man.
And then there was an old woman at the corner. I can't remember her name. But she had a door in the front and a door in the side. Some old woman. It's just the stupid shit we did. And we would look in the house and see if she was in her living room or if she was in, like, her side room. And whichever one she was at, we would ring the fucking doorbell on the opposite side. And then we could see her walking to that door. And then we'd take off running and go to the other side and ring the doorbell over there. And we did this constantly. And then, do you remember the guy beside there? He had them Rottweilers. And just them big... God, that place was crazy. When I looked at a house, when I was looking to buy my first house, I actually went up there and I looked.
And
I didn't
circle?
Go in, but that house was for sale. But it was, you know, $180,000 or something.
BJ's,
you know?
Was?
Yeah. And
yeah, that thing was huge, yeah, man.
Huge house.
How they pool. Ever afforded that? It's
if you, if you think about it, if you think about it right now, where did she work at? Because you don't know.
No idea.
You couldn't tell me where she worked at.
Couldn't tell you anything about her.
She was never home.
Never home. And then you remember when they moved to behind Long John Silver's in South Charleston?
Yep.
We went over there and hung out a few times, too.
Yeah.
And that was a big, that was a rather large home on the river, too.
I think they still live there.
He lived there?
Man, did I tell you when I was out working probably like 2 or 3 months ago, we stopped in and got dinner at McDonald's in the evening.
Yeah,
he was there, and I wanted to say something to him so bad. But his mom was there, and I was like, this is just going to be... And my boss was there. I was like, this is just going to be a awkward conversation. So I did.
My mom said he's filled out a little bit. He's put on a little weight.
Well, good for him.
But she's like, he looks like a man now. I'm like, yeah, because he is. A man. I was like, Mom, how old am I? I asked my mom. Yeah. I said, Mom, how old am I? She said, you're 30. Yes. I'm like, Mom, I'm 32. I'm like, that's where we're at. It's 2019.
And this is a shout out on BJ Johnson's part. It's fuck Lowe's, because that's the most dedicated motherfucker that has worked at Lowe's, and you all will not get him off buggies. You got this guy that's 32 years old that will never miss a day of work.
And he's even tried. He's even tried.
Yeah, and all you all do is just want him there to go get the fucking buggies because you know he won't tell you no. That's the guy that deserves the fucking promotion. Because you know he'll show up. I don't give a shit if he's not a customer person. Make him head of a department or something.
Yeah,
or make him like the head stock guy or something. But you don't fucking keep him out there getting in the damn buggy. So fuck you, Lowe's.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, that's why I go to Home Depot, bitch.
So take that. You fucking kiss my ass. Some bullshit.
So no habits? You didn't have any habits?
Man, if I had a habit, I can't call it off the top of my head. That's a question you should have texted me in the beginning.
should have gave you a heads up.
Think about your habits.
Yeah, sucking my thumb was probably my only one that I can remember. I
don't know. Like, I can't really remember any habits I had.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, sucking my thumb was probably the only one that I had. That was embarrassing, but plus that
you got
I
habits
did.
Now. The only habit I think I got right now that I would say a habit is something you probably can't quit.
Yeah, that you just got to do every
day. And that's cussing. If I had a habit or whatever, I fucking goddamn every other word out of my mouth. And I'm good around the kids. I can control it then, but it's any other time at work. Anything. It's, you know, fuck this, goddamn that, and it just comes out. And I don't know why, and I really don't care, but it does.
I cuss. Probably something I should... Well, I like the emphasis of it.
Yeah.
So, like, I enjoy, like, letting someone know, like, I emphatically, mean, yeah. Like... Yeah, fuck yeah. Yeah. I'm about that emphaticness. Habit, though, that I do now that I can't give up.
So I got, like, a morning routine.
Yeah, I would say so.
So coffee. If for you listeners out there that want to get serious and it's a form of meditation, I like to soak my feet in hot water.
Yeah.
in the mornings to wake my ass up and collect my thoughts.
That's a habit. I would say that's something. And if you don't do it, you feel off.
Yeah.
You ever do it? You ever?
Yo, I haven't done it. I probably haven't done it this past week just because I've been hunting and doing other things. And I don't really feel off, but I know I haven't done it. So it's not like I lose sleep over it, but it's like, you didn't get up this morning and get yourself fucking together. You got up and dicked around and left.
Yeah, man. Mine is probably making the beds in the house.
Oh, that fuck is... that, dog. There ain't no point making it when you're going to fucking mess them up the next that same night.
You know, we had this conversation at Thanksgiving with Taylor's aunt, and she said the same
thing. Hey, how's Big Jerry on that? Was he on his best behavior?
Jerry wasn't there. What? This was Taylor's side of the family.
Oh, okay. Well, speaking of GT, who is Taylor's dad.
Dad.
I sent a special request down there this morning, or this afternoon, this evening when I got here, that we're having a little get-together for Chris.
Next weekend.
And I requested GT be here, and she said she didn't know, and I said, well, tell GT that Matt wants him here. He'll probably come. So, GT, if you do listen to this,
yeah, we'll put him on the podcast.
Yeah, GT. Bro. Hey, GT can come and talk.
Come I'm sure hang out. We'll get a fourth mic. We'll put Kurt on one side, GT.
I don't think that would mix. I think we just need to go one or the other. And nothing against either one of them. I think that we just be looking here like we're fucking idiots. So, we didn't get GT in here.
Yeah, GT.
He needs to show up next week. I hope he does.
I think he will. But we were having a conversation and we were talking about bed making. And I had mentioned that I was made the bed every morning. And Taylor made a snide comment. And Susu came back with, well, you're just going to get back in it and lay down like what you just said. So.
Well, what about this? Because this was a good one. It's not really a habit thing, but we're talking about beds. Clean sheets, man. Gotta love them.
Man, there's no greater feeling in this
fucking
world.
Some clean sheets.
When you have clean sheets with a made bed and you slip in it at the nighttime, it's just like, that's a good feeling.
That's life.
That's a good segue. That's a good segue. As an adult now, what things as a kid have you taken into your adult life? Besides, like, let's say, like, things that would happen to you as a kid or were done for you as a kid, and now you've kind of transformed them into your own adult life that you do. Like, that, because that, for me, my mom kept a clean house. So, like, when I would get in the bed and the sheets had just been washed and I'm slipping in the bed, like, what do you do now?
My house wasn't nasty growing up, but I've definitely carried that way. Like, we don't worry about the fucking beds or the... If there's dishes, we'll fucking get them when we get them.
Yeah.
Man, but the crazy thing about, I don't know, guests carrying stuff on is when I talk to my kids and they're young and I'm arguing with them, I'm like, I'm not telling you to do this stuff to punish you. Or I'm telling you this stuff because I know what's going to happen.
Right.
And
you've been there.
Yeah, I've been there. But, and then I look at it, I'm like, you know what? You all ain't fucking listening. Just like I didn't listen when my parents told me the same thing. And it makes no sense, but you keep doing it. You keep telling them.
Life's like a pattern, man. Like I think a lot of people get into these behavioral patterns that they've either been learned from. Because I think the hardest thing for me as an adult now is that, like, all the things that my mom would harp on me about, and, like, all the like, because, you know, I'm in the house that I grew up in. We're literally in the room that I spent all my adolescent years in. So, like, every time I walk around this house, it's always, like, a look back at what...
God, you remember we used to play video games
right over there. And it's always a look back into like what life was.
What is that right there now?
That's Bear's nursery. So
and then this Ev?
Ev's right there where my sister's room
is. So what's Bear going to be when he grows up?
So Bear will probably slide into here and we'll probably move this office over there into that
room.
Gotcha. But yeah, like I walk around this house now. And I just, like, I have pictures in my head of what my house used to be and what it is now. And as an adult, I'm like, frantic all over the house picking up stuff and just trying to, because I knew in my mind as a kid, like everything had a spot. Like my mom was meticulous about things. So as an adult, I carry that into my adult life where I'm trying to give my kids the same experience that I had. Like, hey, here's your tidied up room because this is what you're going to do when you're
I wish my dad would do that to the house that they still live in where I grew up. But it's now it's like they just don't give a shit, man. It's like, hey, you know, there are some water spots in the roof. I'm like, you want me to go up there? Like, I think your gutter needs a downspout. Like, yeah, I think you... Nah, that ain't it. And I'm like, you don't even know you ain't been up there. Like, but and it's like, as my dad's got older, he's just like, fuck it. And then my mom's like, well, you know, I tried. I'm like, well, why are we even going to him? Why don't we fix it? Like, yeah. Or, you know, let's do this or do that. And she's like, he don't want to. And I'm just like...
The rigors of life of work have been.
Yeah, and he just, and you know, my dad's a man of few words anyways, and it's just like, he don't give a fuck about anything.
And that's hard for you, probably, obviously, because you grew up there. Yeah. It holds a special place in your heart, and you don't want to see it go to a level of, you know,
there's
shit.
There's things that needs fixed that I think we could fix, or with Gary, because they're only getting older, so I'm thinking... Hey, you only got a shower upstairs. Why don't you? You got room to expand a little bit. Maybe build a side room off the back, and for a shower or something. Nah, we ain't doing that. I'm like, why not? Come on, man.
So when you're over there, do you reminisce like when you're in the house? Yeah. There, I can remember being in your like all the time. We would just walk in from the back and just walk through into the kitchen and just. What's up, Kev?
Yeah,
hey,
same
man,
shit.
What's going on?
Those are some of my greatest memories, and I've told my wife, Chelsea, who doesn't understand, but the times I'd come home fucked up out of my mind, and it depended on what time of night it was or what day it was, I knew that my dad would be sitting in that chair watching TV, and I would smell like a fucking whore because I sprayed off gargantuous amounts of cologne, body spray, or something. I'd walk in there, open the fridge up, get a pop or something to drink. I'd walk by. I'd say, like, hey, or something. He kind of give me the thing. I'd smack his foot because he'd be in the recliner. I'd smack his foot every fucking time I walk by and say, I'm going to bed. He didn't say shit. And I'm like, he knows, one, I'm fucked up. And two, how bad did I smell? Because I either smell like cigarette smoke from the bars, or I smell like cigarette smokes with a bunch of fucking cologne. Because I was trying to cover it up.
I remember Axe body spray.
Yeah, dude, I had this shit from Bath and Body that was basically Axe, but it was just body spray, and I kept it in my little blue truck.
Yeah.
I'd spray the fuck down there, and I'd go in there, you know, straggling in, go in there and grab a pop or something. And just like I said, I walk by, smack his fucking foot, like, yo, I'm home. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, looking back now, he's like, he fucking knew. He fucking knew. Dude, I was fucked up. Remember, he didn't ask.
Remember all the times that your mom would come pick us up?
Yeah.
And we'd go to friggin' Taco Bell and have those elaborate orders.
Greatest things about my mom is, and people, I was telling coworkers that are adults that, you know, are in their 60s, and I would tell them, they're like, you know, this. And I said, hey, my mom would rather me come and call her when we were fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
I said, then drive. And I said, my mom didn't care. She all. And I even told her that before we would even go out, she knew I was getting drunk.
Yeah.
She knew where I was going to be. And she said, do you want, and I would tell her every time I'd leave, don't worry about your phone because I got a ride. I already had it planned out. Or B, keep your phone because I'm probably going to need you. And she would. And I was like, and I don't know what's going on this day because I don't feel like kids, when we were younger, drinking off like they're just doing fucking heroin or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
If my kids would ever say, hey, I'm going to Lucy's house and we're going to drink. Now, I might not approve of it, but I would want them, if they were drunk, and say, hey, I'm drunk, I need a ride home, then that's fine. You're not going to get in trouble.
So wonder how we would have been if we had Uber.
Broke. Fucking broke.
Dude, we had a lot of interesting rides.
You gotta think, if we had fucking Uber,
rides.
If we had Uber, I don't think we would have stayed at one place.
No,
if we went to Mojo's and got fucked up, we wouldn't have stayed at Mojo's.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, Uber, yeah, we missed out on that, but that's probably a good thing.
That is probably a good thing. So, and that's a good segue. How do you think your experiences with your childhood shaped your views on money? Because as a kid, both of us came from pretty middle class families. We weren't well off, but we weren't hurting either. I don't think our parents were living paycheck to paycheck.
I think my biggest thing with money is, and I'm a tightwad, and I don't like to spend unless I'm drinking. And I think my biggest thing of what shaped me with money is I have a side hustle where I cut grass, and I think that is what has shaped me into being a penny pincher. I bust my ass outside of my 9-to-5, and I know how hard it is to make an extra $50 or an extra $100. I mean, I cut fucking Christmas trees, and you know, I went to work at Roxalena and then turned around and left there and drove to Jackson County to fucking cut grass and fields and shape trees. It's like, I know how hard it was to work and make that extra $50 to spend in 2 minutes. Now, when I got drunk and fucking would gamble in a slot
machine. You enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I don't know why, like, slot machines and gambling turned me into that, because if I lose the next morning, I'm like, fuck this place. But in the moment, I'm there. Good. But it's like, I don't know why I am the way I am, because my parents never, they saved, but they were never like me, and they'll tell you they're never like me, but it's like, nobody ever harped on me to save money. It just came natural to be a penny pincher.
When was your first job?
Kroger in Dunbar, and I got fired.
That's amazing.
Am I allowed to, let's just say there's a girl, Becky, that we grew up with. Yeah. Why do we call her Goat?
Because she had goats, didn't she grow up on like a farm or something? Yeah, I don't fucking know.
But anyways, her dad was the manager of Dunbar Kroger, and I went in there. I worked like 2 weeks there, and I got mono. And I went in and I said, hey, doctor, here's my mono excuse. Doctor said, don't work for 2 weeks, you know, see how this plays out. Gave my fucking excuse. Everything was good. Bam, I go back over. I'm like, hey, there's an assistant manager. This is the first time I was like, well, goddamn, nobody cares about you. I go in there and I'm like, there's an assistant manager there. I walk in. I'm like, hey, I'm good to work now, whatever. And they were like, all Joe said not to put you on the schedule anymore. I was like,
I had mono, man.
I was like, well,
couldn't physically work.
Fuck, I guess I got fired. I mean, fuck you, Joe. If you hear this,
man, how old were you?
I was old enough to drive.
So you were 16 or 17?
16, 17. I don't even know why I went over and got a job. I just did. I don't know. And do shit. You know who else worked there and it's just dawned on me?
Who's that?
Stacy Hintz, like, ran that. It was like a head cashier there.
Man, I've seen her in Aldi, like, probably a couple months back. She had a full family, the whole nine. I don't know if she still lives in her parents' place or not. But, yeah, it's funny because to me, like, I remember, like, anything I asked for, I got. And that's a spoiled thing to say, but it's just kind of, it was my reality. And for whatever reason, like, it just always, and I didn't have a job until my first job was with the city. So I was probably just a freshman in college. So I was 19. So I didn't, anytime I asked for money, I got it. And for whatever reason, I don't know, it didn't shape my view of money in a way, but like I just didn't think about it. And growing up and always having it, and then I'll never forget when my dad got laid off from the stamping plant. It was like this shift change in my house. It was like, oh, you asked for this, you better really want it now. I'm like, you know what I mean? Like the whole mindset changed from when I was just like, oh, you want something? Okay, we'll get it for you. Now it's like, if you really want that, you better voice that you really want that.
Yeah, because you ain't just getting it.
And then I'll tell you, nothing that my childhood it had to do with, like, when it came to money. But when I worked at the city, there was like this, like, it was like there was a camaraderie. And like, if you were going out and you had guys on your truck, and like if that guy couldn't, you could tell that guy was hurting. You still bought him a sandwich. You know what I mean?
Because you worked
with that guy. You both put in 8 hours. Like, you're going to eat. He's going to eat too.
Yeah.
And that was a good life lesson for me working around a bunch of roughneck people, is that, like, you know, generosity
went a long way. And my thing is with money, and I feel what you say there, but the big perspective I have on that is I see people that, all right, let's go to lunch. Well, I'm not going to eat lunch. And it's like, because I don't have money. Well, all right, well, why don't you have money? You behind on bills? Your house payment? Mm-hmm. No, but I don't want to eat because I'm going to go gamble. I'm going to go smoke cigarettes. And it's like, well, you know what? I don't feel bad if you don't
yeah,
eat.
There's a lot of that, too.
You'll take my 10 because I bought you a Big Mac combo.
Oh, yeah.
But you won't buy it because you want to go gamble or do extracurricular stuff, which you have a right to, and I don't care. But I don't feel bad for you when you don't have money because I worked this, basically what you said. I did my 8.
Yeah.
I busted my ass for it, but I saved a little bit back, or I didn't go do A, B, and C. And then it's like, I don't know. And that's another thing that gets me to this day is, you know, it's like, I don't feel bad for people that, you know, you have a right to do whatever you want with your money. But when you're not doing responsible things with it, don't bitch at me because I'm doing responsible things with mine. So,
yeah, I think that's a tough thing for people, especially when they get into conversations like that. I don't have many of those anymore because I work with so few people. But, like, we always make the joke, like, if I had your money, I'd burn mine. Yep. And that joke always comes up. And, you know, you can tell when a person, like, I can remember going to lunch with people at the city, and they'd be looking at the menu as hard as they could look at it. And they'd be analyzing those prices, and I think they'd be doing the taxes in their head because they literally... Because
I got $5 in my pocket.
Can I literally get a cheeseburger with fries and a Coke and not have to scrounge for change?
Well, I'm hungry for it, but can I get it?
Exactly. Yep. And then you go... Now I go to, you know, lunch with people, and it's basically like...
I'll get whatever the fuck I want.
Exactly. So you see the two coexist, and you can tell right away, like when you have conversations with people, and you know,
I put talking money right up there with religion and politics, as nobody wants to talk about it.
No,
or they have their perspective.
Well, there's so many different philosophies of, you know, I'll never forget, and it goes back to shaping my view on money is that my first boss, Mike Davis, who's now one of the higher ups over at the public grounds.
Shout out to Mike Davis.
Shout out Mike Davis. Love him to death. Great dude, Christian man, the whole nine yards. Mm. And it would do anything for anyone. And I'll never forget, like, I was young and impressionable. And I always remember him saying, like, I spend it as fast as I can get it. In his mind, it did not matter. Because he worked hard for it,
yeah.
And he was going to enjoy it. And he spent it, and he spent it, and he spent it, and he could care. Now, he drove piece of crap cars, but whatever he had at his crib for his family, they had it all.
The one interesting perspective I have on money is, and when you're talking about old bosses, I had a boss when I worked in Huntington who told me, I was bitching about what I made, and at the time I was making $25,000. And I said, you know, the state needs to give us a raise because I ain't making shit. And she looked at me and she said, I get that you want a raise and raises are always good. But she always said, it doesn't matter if you make $25,000 or $100,000, it's going to equal the same. She said, because if you make $25,000, you're going to drive a piece of shit beater with Bondo on it. She was like, because that's all you can afford. She said, you start making $100,000, you're going to go get that.
With a Cadillac.
Yeah, you're going to go get the Cadillac.
It's going to cost you more in the long run.
With that, because that's all you can afford. She said, you might not get the Cadillac like LS, but you'll get the Cadillac L.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, and your toys are just going to expand. And then it's just like, I take that now because I lived in a double wide, and then my wife and I made more money. So what we do is like, oh, fuck the double wide. That's poor person shit. Let's go build a fucking house. And it's like, all right, well, we got more money. Let's go build a house. And the same way, I've never had
more money, more problems. Yeah,
never bought a new vehicle. And that's, you know, some people are like, well, they're junk anyways, but you know, my wife got a good job. I was like, well, fuck it, let's go buy you a new vehicle.
Yeah. So
it's all respect. I mean, if, I don't know, it's just how, whatever you want to do. There's no right or wrong reason with money.
Yeah, I just wonder if those traits are passed. Like, I wonder, you know, I think you and I have had this conversation about our peers and trying to understand the psychology behind it. Like, some people continue to live their lives based off of how they grew up. And sometimes that's not always practical, because sometimes those people didn't get to what their parents got to. Sometimes they didn't live to those expectations.
Oh, I can.
So they're still trying to live that lifestyle that they grew up in, and it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
That's
got to be a tough pill to swallow. I'm not making as much as my dad probably did at the stamping plant, but I'm not working as nearly as much. And another faction of it is that I don't have, from my estimation, because we both grew up in the same, I'm in the same situation that my parents were in, where they were renters to my grandparents. And we had a lot of toys back then. We had a camper, we had a boat, you know, we had a lot of things.
What was the boat's name?
Panky Bear.
Panky Bear. Is it dead? Is it dead?
I think it's still in the water somewhere.
Well, we're going to say it's R.I.P. from that.
It's R.I.P. from our days. Yeah. But, yeah, they played.
Speaking of rent to your parents, I ran into Jared Jobs, a friend of ours. And Jared, if you listen to us.
Oh, JJ.
We might have him on the podcast one
day. Yeah, JJ.
God damn, our list is getting bigger as we talk. I think we're up to three guests now. I ran into him and his mom the other day, and he said he had to pay her rent. And I was like, bullshit. I was like, what are you going to pay? Why would you pay rent? Like, what are you going to pay?
I mean, pay the water bill,
I get the water bill, give them $100 a month, but hell, they've been paying it all this time.
Pay the electric bill.
You're not running up any more bills. I couldn't imagine him raising utilities. Maybe the water, but I couldn't imagine anything else in that house going up.
Nah.
So.
Nah. But. Yeah, I just. For me, and now, you know, being around you more and talking money and you grow. I think as a youngster. If I had to do it all over again, I would probably go about it differently. But I think those years taught me, like, I don't want to live what I was. I don't want to spend as much as I was spending back then. You know, you kind of got to ride that wave. Like, if you have it at those formidable years, where like, if you get behind on something, you're all right, because you can bail yourself out. You don't have kids, you don't have whatever, you don't got a bunch of bills. And I'd rather do that then than do that in our adult life, where you got responsibilities and you're still blind.
I heard another money talk the other day while I was flipping through Facebook, and it was Kevin Gates. Is that right?
Yeah.
The rapper.
Yeah.
So he was, and I don't know why I ran across this, but he was on something I was listening to, and he said that when he was a rapper and a big thing, it was him and Master P and T.I. And I think Mr. Sorrent's here. But basically, he said that he lost everything, got out of prison. He sat beside a guy on an airplane, and he looked at him and said, he's some rich white guy. And I said, are you a billionaire? And that guy said, yeah, I'm a billionaire. And he said, how'd you become a billionaire? And he said, that guy looked at me, and Kevin Gates said, I asked him if he counted every dime he had, and he said no. He said, I counted every penny I had every day. And then he said, and also, I went by the times 10 method. He said, if I can't buy it 10 times, I don't need to buy it. Kevin Gates said, I started saving my money. He said, and I started, I cut out buying all the cars. He said, I got my own merchandise. And he said, and now I'm buying land. And that's what Master P said. Master P said that he just went down to Louisiana and just started buying property on the sides of the highway for, you know, a couple hundred thousand for no reason. And then he said, I just seen this vision that they're going to have to build the highway one day or do this mall. And he said, next thing I know, they build a mall. And I was the only thing stopping them from building that mall because I owned all the land around it. And he said, what'd they pay you? And he said, a lot.
Let that be a lesson to you kids out there. Wise up.
Yeah.
All right, let's go have dinner with Mr.
Yeah, we're out of here.
Yeah, that was the first one. Let everybody know. We'll be back with you guys probably in about a week or so for episode 2 of Verbal Diarrhea.
Might have a guest, might not.
Never know. We gotta see where the budget fluctuates, dog. We're running a low budget scheme up here right now. All right. Y'all take care.
Peace out.